Good evening and welcome along to The Score once again, our midweek sports show here on Highland, where we take a close look at what is happening in the sporting world across the Northwest and beyond. And it is a big weekend of sporting action this weekend, so we have a busy show lined up. Let's get straight into it. Coming up later this hour, we'll have a preview of Donegal's big game against Down in the Ulster Championship this coming Sunday with 2012 All-Ireland winner Eamon McGee. We'll hear from the Institute manager Peter Hutton as their season draws to a close this weekend, and Anthony Gorman will join us to look ahead to this week's games for Finn Harps and Derry City in the League of Ireland. But before we chat to Anthony, let's get an inside look at what is a historic day for Derry City tomorrow night when they face Shamrock Rovers. It will be the first ever soccer match held at the home of Derry GAA at Celtic Park. Martin Holmes went along to the press event ahead of tomorrow evening's game. We'll hear shortly from Candy Stripes manager Tiernan Lynch and homegrown player Patrick McLean. But firstly, here is Derry City media officer Lawrence Murr.
Lawrence, the day before a momentous occasion in the history of Derry City Football Club playing Shamrock Rovers here at Celtic Park.
Very much so, Martin. Look, it's something that we've had on the agenda for a number of weeks, a couple of months now, actually. A lot of preparation has gone into this from both parties. This venue, I mean, you just look around it, it's the Find Insurance Celtic Park, and it's just a magnificent option or an opportunity for us now, and we're being so close to home as well. It was always something that you would have hoped you would have seen, and now that it's actually happened, you wonder why it didn't happen earlier, being honest.
The two codes are working well together. I mean, Derry have been training in Owen Bay for quite some time now.
That's right. That's the thing. I mean, there's no reason for not having relationships with any sporting organisation in the city and around the city. But this one, I mean, was probably nailed on to follow up after they started training at Owen Bay, and it was a bit of foresight used by both associations, by Stephen Barker and his board at the GAA, and by Sean and Philip and our board here at Derry City. And again, it happened quite easily. It happened over a conversation at a kit launch and just grew from there. And this is kind of the next level of it now.
I mean, players from Derry City and from the GAA team have been going to hospitals, visiting kids. There's a really close bond between the two codes.
Well, yes, and that has to be part of it as well. I mean, if you're going to have the two associations working together and the two boards working together, then you need to have both sets of players working together as well. And I think that was important. That visit went down really, really well. And to be honest, the GAA lads loved it. And, you know, they've been asking if we're doing anything in the future, and we probably will. And not probably at all, we will. So, look, there's opportunities there, and I think in this day and age, and the world being what the world is at the minute, the more cooperation and sort of togetherness among the sporting organisations, the better.
Not too many people have to move out of their house when they're getting a new carpet, Lawrence, but there's a great new pitch going down next door.
Absolutely, and I think the great thing about it is, and we were talking about this morning just, it's covered over with a plastic sheet now, but the grass is starting to come up, and, you know, when you take a corner of it off now, it's actually green. You can see, you know, from a distance it looks like the grass is actually growing, but when you're close up, it's, you know, there's a lot of work still to be done. Obviously, this is just the first step now, because there's the element of it now where they have to stitch the grass root as well, which makes it hybrid. So that will be the final part of it, and that'll be in the next few weeks, ready for us to go back in June.
You probably couldn't have written a script better to have the champions coming, TV cameras here tomorrow night. Like, it's a huge event. Even ticket prices are a lot cheaper for these games here. Like, a club have really rolled out the carpet.
I think it was important to do that because it is such a big venue and it holds so many. The fact is, look, we're looking for as many people as possible, obviously, to come along tomorrow night. And I think there will be people coming, even for the historical value of this, as well as the football side of it. The football side of it's the important one for all of us, obviously. But, it's, you know, as you were saying at the start of this, it's very much a community, it's very much a city story, and we intend to try and, you know, build on that part of it.
Patrick, big match tomorrow night. First time for Derry City at Celtic Park. TV cameras, Shamrock Rovers, but probably none of that matters except the one.
Nothing matters now except putting points on the board. We obviously haven't had the best of starts. We've come under a lot of criticism, which is deserved, to be honest. You know, I don't think anyone said anything we haven't said ourselves. So coming off the back of a massive one last week, you know, we're looking to put more points on the board.
I've had a chance to watch this training session today, Thursday, and it looks a very compact, tight group.
It is, and do you know what, right? A lot of teams who've gone through what we've gone through would probably, you know, fold, but not this group. You know, there's a lot of big characters in there, tough, resilient people, and, you know, they're going to be needed tomorrow night.
Of all the teams that come, I suppose the champions, probably the one you wanted most to, you know, test yourself against, following on from last week's good victory.
Absolutely. Do you know, I think if you look at the last game down there, they sort of played us off the park, if we're going to be honest. And, you know, with them coming up here now, we're looking to put on a performance and put things right.
When you're on the pitch as a player, and the current climate of what the team are suffering, what's it like? You'll hear the crowd, obviously.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, like, you're hearing the moans and the groans, and you're trying to blink it out and concentrate on the game. But, like, it's, you know, it is what it is. You know, people pay their money to come and watch, and if you're not performing, you're going to hear it. And, like I said, it's deserved. But all we can do is, you know, keep trucking on and just keep doing what we've been doing, I think, because we've been unlucky in some games. You know, some silly goals have been given away, and if we're at it tomorrow night, I don't think we have any issues.
You'll feel this along with your brother and along with Ben Doherty and Michael Duffy. As local men, you'll feel it that wee bit more.
Absolutely. You know, we're fans as well as players, and it does mean a lot. And, you know, whenever things aren't going your way and you're struggling, you feel it that bit more, because you want to do so well for the club and the fans. You know, you've got friends and family in the stands, and I'm sure they don't want to be listening to, you know, whatever's being said. So, you know, you want to go out and give everything yourself and play well every week, but, you know, sometimes things, like, you know, the game will just throw things up at you, and you just have to deal with it, and that's just the way it is.
Tiernan, I've watched this training session today, Thursday. For a group of players under pressure, they're not showing it. Like, it's a really tight, happy group of players.
Listen, I keep saying this, that they're a phenomenal bunch of boys, and I think out of the games that we've played so far this season, probably the one game that we've let ourselves down, that we take full responsibility for, was Rovers at Tala. But even the other games that we maybe weren't winning, I think the commitment and the effort that these boys have shown is there for everybody to see. We show them on a weekly basis the clips of them throwing their bodies in front of the ball and the things that they do to try and keep that, and what it means, what Derry City means to them. Thankfully, last week we got a result, and hopefully that they can go and build on that, because, as I say, day in, day out, they give 100%, and that's all I can ask of them.
Last week was a huge 3 points.
Yeah, it was. There's no doubt about that. We now just have to try and build on that. We know it's going to be a difficult game tomorrow night with Rovers. They're a good side, but this is a brilliant occasion for us. It's a brilliant occasion for the city. And what we just have to do now is go out and make sure we can put that right.
TV cameras will be here. It's Shamrock Rovers, all that stuff, playing at the Celtic Park for the first time. But your focus will only be on the one?
Yeah, listen, all the rest is outside noise. And it's a bit like the frustrations that are going out there. It's all just outside noise. The big thing that we have to do is we know how much this club means to the city, and we know how much a result on a Friday night means to the people of this city, and we do everything in our powers to try and deliver that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's never for the lack of effort, never for the lack of trying, and I firmly believe that this group of players will definitely come through.
So that is the latest from the Derry camp ahead of tomorrow night's game. That was manager Tiernan Lynch, and before that was Patrick McLean and Lawrence Moore. So I'm happy to say, joining us on the Score programme now to look ahead to all the League of Ireland action this weekend is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony, thank you very much for popping on. We just heard from the Derry City press conference ahead of that game tomorrow night. It is all systems go for what promises to be a very special night at Celtic Park.
Yeah, it'll be strange actually to see Derry playing in Derry and not actually at the Brandywell. But I suppose it's needs must at this stage, you know, when they're doing all the work at the Brandywell. And I suppose that the obvious choice for them was to play at Celtic Park. And the good thing is that they were able to make an agreement with the GAA, and and play their games at Celtic Park. Now, the only thing you'd be a wee bit concerned about would be, I watched the Derry Antrim game last week and the surface didn't seem to be particularly good, but speaking to somebody there earlier on in the week, they were saying that, you know, there had been plans to do a lot of work on the pitch during the week in terms of rolling it and getting it cut down to you know, a respectable level and a level that would be acceptable for Derry and Shamrock Rovers to go and play on.
It is champions and current league leaders, actually, Shamrock Rovers tomorrow night. Couldn't get much of a tougher assignment for that first game at Celtic Park, but suppose that win last week over Shells will give Derry a wee bit of a bounce heading into this one. What way do you see it going, Anthony?
It's very difficult, you know, to look past Shamrock Rovers, Mark. You know, they've had a really good start to the season, and in contrast, Derry City have had a very disappointing start to the season. You know, after 12 games, I think Derry City expected to be right up there with the likes of Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's. But, you know, after the 12 games, they've only got 3 victories, and 2 of them came against two of the bottom 3 sides in Sligo and Waterford. But they will be boosted by the fact that they went to Dublin last weekend, and albeit against a Shelburne team that's out of form. But, you know, to still go to Dublin and play Shelburne and pick up 3 points would be a massive boost for Tiernan Lynch and his players.
Yeah, kickoff at Celtic Park. Seems strange saying that. It's at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. There are 3 games at 7:45. Waterford play Galway. Shelburne will look to bounce back from last week's defeat to Derry with a home game against Drogheda. And Anthony, in the pick of the other games, probably St Pat's play Bowes. That should be a very good game at Richmond Park.
Yeah, a really good game. You know, Bowes after their you know, their really good start, and you know, they've lost a couple of games recently, but Pats, along with Shamrock Rovers, they are the form team. They're scoring goals. They've got great attacking options in Pats. And, you know, their home form's been really good. So it's a difficult game for Bowes. But again, listen, you're talking about 2 of the top 4 teams in the league, both teams with title ambitions. So it'll be a really good game as well.
Suppose a good weekend for Derry City would be to see them 2 teams draw and Derry to get a win, but we shall see. Let's move on to the First Division stuff. A bit of a rocky couple of weeks for Finn Harps, 2 defeats in a row, 1 at home to Cove and then away to UCD last week. What did you make of those 2 performances?
The Cove game, you know, watching that, you know, I think Cove thoroughly deserved the victory on awful conditions, to tell you the truth. You know, the wind and the rain, and you know, there was different times in the game when Cove's really peppered the Finn Harps goals with shots from distance. But for long periods, Finn Harps defended well. But I don't think they could have too many complaints about the result at the end of that. The 2 previous games, you know, before we go on to the UCD game against, you know, an away game against Bray and the home game against Cork, where they picked up 2 draws. I mean, they were good, 2 good performances. You know, particularly the draw against Cork City, the league leaders, and it looks like they're going to run away with the championship this year. But to go to Bray and pick up a point was a good result. And then, like, the UCD game, like, I know they, you know, watching it, they were under pressure for large periods of the game. But, I mean, what I would say about Finn Harps this season, and especially last season as well, there was times when, you know, when they were under pressure, but they dug in and they were very, very resilient and very difficult to beat. So to lose a game in the last minute in the manner of which they did against UCD, you know, a strike from the edge of the box which took a deflection doesn't really give the goalkeeper much of a chance. I mean, that's disappointing. You know, and if we're going into this weekend, Mark, on the back of, you know, a draw against Cork, a draw against Bray, and a draw away to UCD, you'd be thinking they've been on a decent run. But just the fact that they've lost them last 2 games now puts a different slant on it.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of the league. Tomorrow night's another opportunity to get back to winning ways at home to Athlone Town. Is it fair to say there's maybe a wee bit of pressure on Harps to get a result at home tomorrow to maybe avoid getting, you know, cut adrift of that top section of the league?
Yeah, but, you know, there's at different times last year, you know, there was times when they were down about the same position, but they were able to rally around. And, you know, a couple of wins, Mark, makes a wild difference. You know, if you can put 2 victories together and, you know, it makes an awful difference. If you, like, 6 points is huge, and not only in the First Division, but in the Premier Division. So, and it's not very often that you get teams going on good runs, you know, from say third to eighth, where, you know, it's all very competitive and, you know, points are hard to come by. But I wouldn't be too concerned about Van Harps at the moment, because as I said, they've been on decent runs. The form's been decent, you know, and they've just, it is difficult, you know, when you are Van Harps and you're down at that end of the table. But, you know, a couple of ones will make a massive difference and put them closer to the playoff positions, Mark.
Yeah, and in terms of personnel, who would you be looking to in the Van Harps squad to maybe look at turning a corner maybe and get themselves up the league? You know, players that can really take the game by the scruff of the neck, for example, tomorrow night against Athlone. Who would you be looking at to get the game by the scruff of the neck and really push things on?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not sure if Conor Tourish is going to be fit, like he came off injured last week. But, I mean, Tourish has been their talisman for the last couple of years. And, you know, not only is he their main man at the back, but also he's a massive goal threat as well. Like, he's excellent in both boxes. And what I would say as well is, like, young McAteer, Gavin McAteer, when I've watched him play, he's been really impressive. Like, he shows great composure for somebody so young, and you know, he showed this year already and last year as well that, you know, his ability to open up defences and to play, you know, he certainly has a bright future ahead of him. But it's the experienced players and the likes of Tony McNamee, who never lets the team down, who always gives 100%. Like, if you have Tourish and McNamee, like, two of your experienced players who know the league in and out, if you have them performing well, you know, you've definitely got a chance.
For sure. Well, we'll have updates from that game with Jim O'Doherty from the quarter to eight kickoff tomorrow night. Elsewhere, leaders Cork City are away to Bray. UCD go to Treaty and Wexford host Cove. Anthony, locally, a big weekend for Letterkenny Rovers. A win on Sunday in Cagey at Central Park would see us crowned the Brian McCormack Sports Premier Division champions for a second successive year. You have obviously put yourselves in a very strong position to retain the title.
We have, yeah. But, you know, it's been a lot of hard work, you know, over the last couple of years, Mark, to get us where we are. And, you know, I think the thing about us at the minute, and certainly since I came back into the club, that we take nothing for granted. There's, you know, there's nobody going down thinking, and going into any game, Mark, there's nobody going into the game thinking, like, this is a gimme here. And we certainly haven't found that over the last couple of years. Every game has been competitive. There's been no games, and, you know, where you're playing during the game and you think, you know, you're really comfortable. You may be comfortable in possession at times, but the score lines have been really close, especially this year. We haven't run away with any games at all. And, you know, going down to Cagey on Sunday, you know, it's been a funny season for Cagey, because while, you know, they're down near the bottom of the league, they've only lost possibly three games. Their problem has been they've drawn too many games, and they came to Lakeview at the start of the season and got a point, and they deserved their point, and were probably unlucky not to go away with three. They hit the bar late on in the game, but our boys, they deserve all the credit for where we are and where we have been in the past, and you know, the work ethic that they have, the desire to stay in games and to do whatever it takes to get us over the line at different times and different games has been exceptional. And you know, certainly we're really looking forward to Sunday's game in Cagey.
No luck last week against Cockhill Celtic in the FAI Junior Cup. He's went down 3-1 at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Grounds. It would have been nice to get a wee cup run going through the summer, but unfortunately, just from a Rovers point of view, it wasn't your day last week.
No, but, you know, in saying that, it was, I suppose it's the first time we've played Cockhill now in the best part of 3 years. And I think maybe some of us early on didn't know what to expect. And we didn't settle into the game really well. But once we found our feet, you know, we could have easily went down at half-time 2-2. We had a couple of really good chances that we didn't take. And that sort of carried on into the second half as well, where probably for large periods of that, the second half, we played probably some of our best football of the season and created numerous chances. We got a goal back and we changed the shape a wee bit and got a goal back early on, early in the second half. But we just couldn't get the second goal, which would have, you know, tied the game and maybe pushed into extra time and penalties. But and then when we were pushing at the end, we got caught on a bit of a break. And but we have absolutely no qualms about the result. Like, at the end of the day, you know, Cockhill got the result, and you know, we wish them well in the next round. But again, it's one of them. we can say it's one that maybe got away, but certainly we have no complaints in terms of how the boys performed or how they applied themselves to the game.
And Letterkenny Rovers against Coghill Celtic, I think the general consensus would be that these are the two best junior teams in the county, and that's a fixture that's going to become more regular now with the inception of the National League. I'm sure you're looking forward to renewing that rivalry later in the year when that gets going.
Yeah, like a chat with Gavin Collin down there on Sunday as well. And, you know, it's going to be something different for us because, as I said, we've avoided each other over the last couple of years. And, you know, but certainly it's a new era for both clubs now come the end of this season. And it's one we're really looking forward to, Mark.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Well, we heard Anthony talk about Letterkenny Rovers potentially clinching the Brian McCormack Sports Premier Division title this weekend against Cadieux. That game has a 1 o'clock start at Central Park on Sunday, as do the other two games in that division on Sunday. Bunnygee United host Donegal Town. Bunnygee United, of course, looking for a win to keep the foot on the throat of Letterkenny Rovers at the top of the table. And Glenelg United are at home to newly crowned Ulster Cup winners Kildrum Tigers. The battle for promotion continues in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. Second placed Cranford are away to Curragh Athletic, and third placed Drumahill go to White Strand. Champions Raffo Town are away to Drumkeen. Up in Inishowen on Sunday, title winners Coghill Celtic are away to Aileach. That is in the Clubman Shirt semi-final, and that game has a 2 o'clock kickoff time. There's another big game in Inishowen this weekend, the Division 2 final between Kildaff Rovers and Clonmany Reserves. That'll take place at McGinn Park from 4 o'clock on Saturday. Well, it's time for a quick break here in the programme. We'll be hearing from Institute boss Peter Hutton when we return, so stay tuned for that. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, Institute conclude their NIFL Championship campaign this coming Saturday with an away fixture against Armagh City. Stuart have won 4 out of their 5 games in the relegation group since the split and will finish in 7th position no matter what the outcome of this weekend's final game, having had a very promising second half of the season. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with their manager Peter Hutton this week to get his views on how the season has panned out, and Peter also looked ahead to next season's alterations to the format with 4 sides coming up from the NIFL Premier Intermediate League. Here he is talking to Chris.
Peter, the curtain about to close on the season 4 Institute. 1 game left. The championship, of course, goes into that split a few weeks back, but you're certainly finishing the season on a high. You've had some great form of late with several wins, so good to have that momentum, and it augurs well, I suspect, for the future.
Well, but let's hope so. But as you say, we've had a really good run since January. We've become a lot more consistent in our play and results-wise. So, yeah, if the season was to start in January, we'd probably sitting up around second or third. But unfortunately, it didn't. But no, again, it's good, as you say, to finish the season strong. Unfortunately, as you say, there was a split in the season. But on points, we could probably finish the season maybe fourth if we weren't sitting in seventh in the split now at the moment. But again, good end of the season now with just 1 game to go.
And as you reflect on the season and the fact that you've done well in recent weeks, was it a case of sort of the team just taking time to build and gel and just get a little bit of pattern to the play?
I think there's a bit of that as well. At the start of the season, when I came in around last May, June time, there was 14 or 15 players who had left in the aftermath of Kevin Deary going to Corain, and a lot of players were unsure of their futures and stuff. So a lot of them signed elsewhere with different clubs at Limbe Valley, Port Stewart, Strabane, etc. So a good few left. So we really had a assemble a new squad and we've had a few loanees come in as well. So again, you're trying to fit players on the systems and get them to play with strangers, basically, you know, and it takes time. And I think even we made 1 or 2 more additions in January, and we got 1 or 2 players back from long-term injuries. So it all sort of came together then around January onwards, and everyone sort of knew their roles and stuff like that. And I think it's just everything sort of started to fit, and people sort of understood then their roles within the team and stuff like that. So we just become a lot more consistent in our play, and that was shown in the results we got.
Now, your near neighbours, Limavady United, it's been a great season for them. They have won the championship. They're getting promoted. Just how big a step up, how big is that gulf between the championship and the premiership in the north? Is it similar to the League of Ireland, would you say, that the jump from first division to the top flight in the Airtricity League?
I would say so. I would say so. And again, a lot of it is to do with finance as well, in terms of what clubs can afford. There's a lot of clubs now in the Premier League who are full-time. And the bottom rung of the teams in the Premiership are probably all still part-time or of a hybrid model. And the Championship is obviously completely all part-time. So it is a massive step up. But again, Limavady now, to be fair, were back financially and they were making a play for the Premiership and promotion and that. So they have a good squad, a good experienced squad as well. A few players with Premiership experience, which will help them. I'm sure they're probably going to look to add to that squad that's already gone up. But it is, there's definitely it's a step up.
Now, you have just one game left. Are you thinking ahead for next season at this stage, or is it a case of get this weekend over and then sort of sit down and really assess where you are?
No, we've been probably already been thinking about next season for the last number of weeks. And looking at players available and things like that, and maybe areas where we can improve upon. I've already been chatting to players about next season. So, again, it's just an ongoing thing whereby I think every manager is the same. You're always looking to improve your squad or better your squad, but having to do that within the finances of the club. So, but again, yeah, we're looking to improve and sort of kick on. We want to finish the season as high as possible and take that sort of consistency we've developed over the last sort of few months and the next season.
And would most of your players be on contracts that conclude at the end of the season, or are there a few that you know for sure are going to be there for next year?
Yeah, well, the vast majority of the squad will be up at the end of this year. But again, now we have re-signed a few on two-year deals or more, because I think that's important that the club now, with the players need to have that consistency as well, knowing that they're going to be there at the club, and the club will know that players will be there the season after next as well. They keep that continuity too in the group. With your better players, you obviously want to keep them there for as long as you can.
Now, the Player Fit Championship, very competitive, and next season there's going to be a little bit of tinkering because there's going to be a number of teams coming up from the Premier Intermediate. So just explain to our listeners who wouldn't be familiar maybe with it, just the format for the Championship next year in the North.
Yeah, well, Niffl have decided now the Intermediate League, which would be like the third tier now at the moment, there's going to be four teams being promoted up till next year. So that'll give us then a 16-team championship. So I think we'll all play each other, it's either twice or three times. I don't think they have confirmed that yet. But that's sort of on the periphery. And it means then the likes of Moyola, who probably are favourites to come up now, and Strabane will be in there on the mix. Derek Weir is still a very outside chance of getting promoted as well, and Newry Town as well is one of the teams probably going to come up too. So it's going to be four good teams coming up, and it's going to make it even more competitive next year.
And tell me, what's the latest for Institute with regard to ground development and the plans that the club has? Where are we at?
Well, at the moment we're using Moyola's pitch in Castle Dawson there, because obviously the Brandywell is unavailable at the moment. But once the Brandywell, the new pitch is sown and stuff, and the grass pitch is ready, then Derry will move back into that. And then once our season then starts again, come round August or time, then we'll be back in the Brandywell ourselves for the new season. In terms of the new stadium, there's nothing in the offering at the moment. I know the club are working away in the background, exploring other avenues to the when they get turned down for the funding from NIFL and the government. They explore other avenues now at the moment, and they're hopeful that something will be announced in the next year or two.
And overall, Peter, the club, as you reflect on this season, are you happy enough looking at where you stand now and the progress that's been made? And are you hopeful that you can kick on and maybe really challenge for promotion next season?
Yeah, well, it's been a challenging season, as I say, coming in with, and then so many players going out the door, and obviously myself, it was the first time experiencing managing in the Championship, so it was definitely a good year to sort of find your feet, and even just to get to know the different grounds and the different personnel and players and management from the various other teams and stuff like that. It was a baptism of fire at the start, but again, you know, over the season then you've learned sort of who you're up against and their systems and their players and things like that. So next season now we'll be much better prepared, and as I say, we'll hopefully have a bit more continuity in our squad as well, and hopefully then we can add the us. As I say, we're finishing the season strong, so we'd like to take that hopefully into next year.
Institute manager Peter Hutton in conversation with our own Chris Ashmore. So, as we heard, Stute are away to Armagh this coming Saturday, and newly crowned champions Limavady, who will be playing in the top flight next season, they end their season at home to Queen's University tomorrow night. So that's you up to date with what's happening in local soccer. So we'll turn the focus now to Gaelic games. It is a massive weekend. It always is when Donegal are in Ulster Championship action, but this weekend provides a very special occasion with the quarter-final clash with Down taking place at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny this coming Sunday. Jim McGuinness's side come into that game having claimed their second ever National Football League Division 1 title by beating Kerry and Croke Park last month. They're also going for 3 Ulster Senior Football Championship titles in a row, something that no Donegal team has ever managed to achieve before. Down, meanwhile, are also coming into the contest as league champions as they edged the Division 3 decider after extra time against Wexford. Highlands Oisín Kelly has been looking ahead to the big game this weekend with 2012 All-Ireland winner Eamon McGee.
Eamon, welcome along to the airwaves of Highland once again. How are you doing?
Cheers, Oisín. Good to be back on. All good. Looking forward to a big weekend.
Yeah, big weekend. Surely big game on Sunday as the Championship starts. But before that, Eamon, I know you watched it last night. We did commentary here on Highland Ulster Under-20 Championship semi-final. Certainly a game of two halves. A hugely disappointing night for Tyrone for Donegal, and I suppose Tyrone showed their merit as defending double Ulster and All-Ireland champions by knowing what to do and getting the win last night.
Yeah, it's when the game was there, you know, that kind of what Devlin brings to them Tyrone teams, the previous under-20 teams, when the game was there and it came out to them, and you know, probably argue about that game of two halves thing. They're total dominance, but dominance means nothing unless you're putting it into the scoreboard, and you could just see it. You could just see it written. You know, we've seen this pattern before where dominance doesn't translate to scores, and you know, Tyrone were always going to hit that wee patch, and we just needed to be further ahead and probably have killed them off good enough, because there's fight in Tyrone, and again, it's just about, you know, probably us as Donegal looking at underage, that learning thing is just about, we're fed up hearing that word and listening to it, but it's important that the lads that are there, it's a good group there, and a lot of them will go on to play senior football, and some others will go back to their club, but that they take that learning, and that's all you can do, really. Yeah.
But there was a feeling afterwards last night that was a big, big missed opportunity, but only go.
It was. Equally the same as last year. You know, you put the game last year where you could more or less put it down to that refereeing call against Finbar, harshly done, and then was brought forward harshly, I felt. That was a missed opportunity. And again, there was a great group there, another missed opportunity. So just for whatever reason, just Donegal, for the players that we're producing, aren't translating that into underage success. You know, there's some magical players, and there has been, and it's just we don't have enough, and whatever that is, until that barrier gets broken down consistently, then, you know, we'll top. But, you know, also goes back to the question, what's more important in terms of developing, getting, you know, 3 or 4 players ready to play senior football, or getting a medal into the young fella's pocket.
Tyrone
are coming off the back. I see saw on the whole thing, Oisin. You know, majority of the time I say, no, we'll get the three or four ready to play senior football. And what I mean ready to compete, not to maybe stay 3 or 4 years in as a squad member, 3 or 4 ready to play in the first 15. That's the version of success to me that I like. But then again, you know, winning medals creates that mentality, it creates that tradition. And you bring that into the senior team. So at the minute, I'm still going towards the, you know, we take 3 or 4 from every age group and get them through the seniors. That's the barometer of success. But, you know, there'll be times where I can be easily talked in, you know, medals is the barometer. And you look at Tyrone coming off the back of 2 under 20 successes they have, that hasn't translated into senior for them. So it doesn't necessarily always guarantee that you're going to do it at senior as well.
We'll move away from the 20s and look forward now to the start of the championship. I'm looking at the studio window here and the sun's shining. There's a real feel this week. The championship football is about to get up and running in Letterkenny. As a player, Eamon, because you've played in quite a few championships, what's it like in the days leading up to the championship kicking off and pulling on a Donegal jersey?
It's amazing. It's amazing feeling. Like, and I always say that to any young lad that's about a Donegal squad, is that how lucky they are in terms of that build-up. You know, the evenings are getting long. The ground's starting to get harder. The ball's starting to get faster. And you can see that the speed of training, and that you can feel the buzz in the air, the vibe in the air in training. And, you know, you're looking forward to the big crowds. And it's just so good to be part of that there. That's one of the things that, looking forward to, you know, you miss the most about football when you're playing senior for Donegal. Mm.
Donegal are double Ulster champions. There's an unprecedented 3 in a row possibly on the horizon. They're going in this year to 2026 as favourites to lift another Anglo-Celt Cup. Will that 3 in a row even be mentioned at this stage, would it, do you think, Eamon?
I don't think so. I think Jim has been about the block that he's going to be very process orientated. That he knows the crack and he's learned from the last thing how dangerous that 3 in a row where you're supposed to go out and beat Monaghan in the Ulster final. Just a matter, I think the odds were ridiculous. Division 3 also. I think they were coming from Division 3 into Division 2. So he just can't take anything for granted in Ulster. And in championship in general, we've seen Mark with Westmead. Everybody's talking about the Mead team. Mark went in with a hungry Westmead team and, you know, gave me the lesson. So there's a lesson for that in Donegal itself, where in Ulster, you just can't take your eye off the ball and you just forget about 3 in a row. You just go and win. We need to beat down. And there's a thing during the week where everybody's talking about the Donegal Armagh, you know, matchup. If you're sitting, if you're Conor Laverty and if you're reading that and you're watching that, it's just great ammunition for that dressing room in terms of what about down? Why are we not figuring that? But they have the players, so it can be a dangerous fixture for Donegal. Yeah. We start talking about 3 in a row.
If Down are going to cause Donegal problems, where do you see it coming from? Because you're part of the Sligo setup and obviously you played Down in the league, Eamon. If they are going to cause us issues, what sort of areas would you expect it to come from?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously, and we're sick talking about kickouts, then in terms of how important they are to them, momentum shifts and getting on top. But the keeper and the kickout, that's going to be crucial. And Down have lovely forwards. You know, you've Murdoch there, you've Daniel McGuinness there. They're lovely ballers. And I don't think they'll necessarily go to try and stop Donegal. They'll try and get at Donegal and try and get a score up. You know, again, go back to Westmead. That's how Westmead went at it. They went to play to go out and beat rather than to say they need to beat us down. I don't think Down will do that. I think they'll come to play a bit of ball and go after their own kickout, go after the Donegal kickout and try to out shoot Donegal and, you know, try to maybe park that big man on the edge of the square, try to get something off that there. So there's different avenues. Conor, no better man, will have looked at Donegal, analysed them, and seen where he can actually get at them.
Yeah. The other side of that is when we look at Donegal's situation, they've been a lot more aggressive the way they have been going about their business this year, Eamon. And they've been very, very impressive in the way they've been playing the ball on the kickouts. They're kicking, and to that extent, the running game as well. Nobody seems to be able to stop them. And if they get at down at the weekend, it could be a long day for the Moran Counties. The flip side of that, Eamon?
100%, 100%. You know, one of the things I would have seen from down is, I probably looked at them, obviously what the Sligo had on now, but looked at them with the Donegal maybe down the line. In terms of matchups, in terms of, you know, that Donegal running power, I think that if Donegal can get up and running, no pardon the pun there, but get up and going 100 mile an hour, they're going to be very hard to stop. And if they're slick, as we've seen throughout the league, and they're clinical, it could be a long day, but it's just that if we get into a cagey kind of thing where down are getting on top of us and they're getting a lot of joy from a certain area, then it's just a dangerous, dangerous tie.
Yeah. We did, of course, say that we're all excited about the championship starting again. And from a management point of view, it seems to be that Jim McGuinness is just about going to have a full deck, a healthy deck to choose from. Now, I know Kieran Thompson's still a wee bit away, but indications are from the rest of them, they're either available or they're not too far away. And when you start the championship, that's not a bad problem to have, Eamon.
It's a brilliant place to be. You know, obviously we'd love Tomo to be back there now, but he's working hard. He's working hard in the background, and he will hopefully have an impact in terms of later on in the year. Patton's worked hard to get back. I think it's a great situation where Jim can trust Gavin Mulroney now. You know, he's done a job. He can look to him and say, right, away you go. And then you have Patton. So, you know, if you're Conor Laverty or any other county manager, you're dealing with a certain way of marking. You're looking at a keeper. How do we go at him? Jim might just say, we'll go with Patton today. And that changes the whole preparation then. So it's a great, great place to be in terms of that. And I think going forward, that's where that will be a big factor in championships going forward, is how people manage the squad, how they stay injury free. Not necessarily about, you know, how hard to train, but is everybody available to them? Because the condensed season means you pick up a grade 2 hamstring. You know, that's 6 to 8 weeks. You're out. Could be season ending. So we teams and their S&C and, you know, their physios, how they manage it is so important for the next few weeks now.
Yeah. You mentioned the kickouts. Donegal have become a potent force around the middle of the field, Eamon. When you look at the amount of big men that we have, and if you are going to go long with your kickouts and you're going to take on Donegal, the percentages may fall in favour of Donegal in most situations, but the size that of the men and the power that Donegal have around the middle this year is phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. And most teams now are trying to get a bit of size, but what happens then is when you take in the big men, they're not as mobile as you'd want them to be. So, you know, if you're trying to get a high press on and you have 5 or 6 big men, you're losing out because you're able to get around them. And what you'd be better off doing is going back to that low block. But Donegal are still, the great thing about their big majority of their big men is they're dynamic, they're athletic. You know, you look at Lang and Jason McGee, able to compete in the air and give that, you know, press. When you look up and you see Jason, Huey, you know, Michael Lang and Kiel McGonigal out there, it actually sends a signal where, geez, I don't want to put it out to them big men in that back line. And then you're Gav Mulroney, you're Sean Patton, and you have a visual of them boys, then it's a great option to have. And they're all very mobile. They're all able to get around the ground. So you're not losing as much through that other side. You can go with the big men and still be able to get up and down the field the way you want to.
Yeah. And you can add Murphy into that mix as well when he drops out around the middle. But listen, Eamon, it's a big day for St Eunan's. It's their first championship encounter at the ground. Senior football inter-county championship game in something like 75 years. So it's a big day for the club. It's a fantastic venue to watch a football match because you're close to the action. There'll be a real, real good atmosphere. But come 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, where do you see the lay of the land?
First of all, just on the unions thing, I see the work, unfortunately, or I don't know what the right word is for my young fellas down about unions. And he's doing the underage and he started his GA journey there. So I see the work that goes on there. And they're really, really proud of what they're, the way they're prepping for this game and the way they've got the pitch and massive work has gone on to it. So you're going to have to tip the hat to them there. The lay of the land come, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock Sunday. It's hard to see past Donegal. You know, they're just, I don't see a drop off where they're going to let down into it. Down probably can get at them in patches of the game, but when Donegal open up and they go at it, I think they can hurt down, really, really hurt down. So at times they'll be tested, but I don't see us being at the wrong end of the result. And hopefully I'm wrong, but I just don't see.
Just want to have you there, the other semi-final Armagh for Fermanagh. Declan Bonner could face into a tough day against the Orchard County. Would you see it as an Armagh-Donegal semi-final the following Sunday?
I don't want to give any more ammunition to Conor Laverty because that's all the talk about is the Donegal-Armagh game that's going to be in the semi-final now. But at the end of the day, you have to call it as you see it. And we were all been about now that the thing about Armagh kind of struggle just about to stay up. But in every one of them games, you could just see there's something about this Armagh team. Wasn't if they're totally in a class. They were just unfortunate and they're going to be dangerous. They're going to be dangerous. So, I think it's dangerous to talk about Donegal and Armagh. And that's disrespectful as well. You know, Down have worked hard. They deserve to be respected. And they deserve to be treated with that. Can it? We'll get over. We'll look at Down, and then we'll get it. We'll talk about Armagh then next. So they've won Division 3. So we just can't. We can't go too far ahead of ourselves here.
Okay then. Well, on that note, what we'll do, Eamon, is we'll leave it. Listen, thanks for joining us this week, and I'm sure we'll see you about the park on Sunday. Enjoy the football at the weekend.
Good man, Oisin. Thank you. Take care.
That is Eamon McGee speaking with Highlands Oisin Kelly. Throw-in is at 3 o'clock on Sunday and we'll have full live match commentary here on Highland Radio. The Donegal Ladies also get their Ulster Championship underway this Sunday afternoon. James Daly's side play Armagh at the Boxhead Athletics Grounds in a repeat of last year's Ulster Decider, if you remember, at Clonus. Throw-in in Armagh is at 2 o'clock and we will have updates from that game with Kieran Lynch. And finally, the Donegal Hurlers continue their Christy Ring Cup journey. They have a trip to Celtic Park to face Derry. That game is at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That's just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and want to have a listen back to it, you'll be able to find the full episode over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday from 7. My name is Mark Gallagher. Thanks as always for listening. Jimmy Stafford is up next just after the 8 o'clock news. Have a good evening. Enjoy the sport of the weekend and I'll chat to you all again soon. Take care.